And then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia! Yeah!
Ramel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Panterita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We roll on, and I love it when people come in studio because you can actually look them in the eyes when you talk to them, right? So the interviews tend, in my opinion, are better when people are there live. This show is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Josh Gardner still here, and before we get to Christine Nairn of the Houston Dash, and I'm excited to talk to her about the upcoming season. We're going to talk a little bit about the U.S. Women's National Team and also the Spain game. But Josh, I forgot to ask you in the last segment, and I really want you to talk about this, the fact that you're running a USL 2 team here in Houston. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about it, who you're going to be playing, and kind of what the objective is there.
Yeah, so that's our USL 2 franchise, are the Royals. That's our top of the pyramid, if you will, from our club standpoint. So we're pushing a lot of our younger players to jump into. Formerly it was PDL, right? But they've merged everything together under one umbrella, which I think is great. You know, we had the likes of Marcelo Palomino coming through last year and played for us, and now he's obviously with Houston Dynamo. So I think for us it's about community. It's about bringing in the best Houston players that we can. The first year we went 7-7. Last year we went 5-4-5. So, you know, fewer losses but not enough wins. This year we've got a very strong team, and we're looking forward to putting a good product on the field. But what we want to do is try and bring in the best players from the Houston area. So we've got kids from Rise Texans, from Houston Dynamo DA, coming back from college. Obviously our kids with from Albion Hurricanes, which I think is most important. And obviously our WPSL franchise as well, the Royals. They bring in some really good women that come through, and they did really well, made playoffs last year. So I think from a club standpoint, we want to try and bring in the community and make it a fun family atmosphere where we can, you know, have smoke bombs, hopefully, and create that environment that I think some clubs miss.
Josh, thank you very much for that. Where are you playing your home games?
At Campbell Road Sports Park.
Okay, right on Campbell Road there. Okay, that's not far from me. Let me know. I want to come watch your team play. I want to watch you coach.
You better.
Pressure's on.
All right, let's do it.
Josh Gardner, we appreciate that. Thank you, Josh. All right, we bring in Christine Nairn now. All right, 2 days into preseason, Christine, you seem to be walking fine. It didn't seem like you walked in sore. How's it going so far, and how excited is it just to be back out there?
It was just that. We're so excited to get the ball rolling again. I think the off season can be very, very long at times, and you know, when you're going to the gym by yourself and just trying to train and recreate that mentality and that focus for the season, it's hard. But it's day two today, still walking, and I'm liking what I see so far on the field, and I think it'll be a very, very exciting year for the Houston Dash.
So you're like Josh. I mean, I looked at your bio, and I've known you from other teams in the NWSL. I've called some of your games. I used to think in the 80s you had to bounce around a lot, but that's obviously still happening in the NWSL. That happened during your career as well, Josh. What's it been like to finally get a little bit of stability here with the Houston Dash? But then what's it been like at some of the other clubs, Washington, some of the other places you've been? How have you seen the professionalism accelerate in the NWSL?
I was just actually talking about this the other day. Naturally, you just compare each and every year. So my first year professional was year one of NWSL, and the first year I had to find my own housing. You know, I was going to a brand new city, you know, had no idea what to expect.
Is that Seattle?
At Seattle, yeah. Had to find my own housing. Then when I went back to D.C., commuted from home, so that was kind of nice to play in front of family and friends. Went back out to Seattle, whole different system, whole new front office and everything like that, so they set up our housing, and then here, since we've been with the Dash, it's just been top notch. I mean, we live in Vantage Apartments and now another place, and you know, it's
don't
second
you have to do
none.
A few commercials there?
Yeah, just yeah, throw that up on our Instagram stories. You know?
Yeah. That's good though. That's progress.
Yeah, no, it's getting better each and every year.
Yeah, I mean, when the home stays were happening, I'm sitting here thinking, come on. I mean, you're out there training in 90 degree heat. You're going to come to somebody's house and you still have to go in the house and honor the people's home who you're living in. Right. It's like,
absolutely.
It's like I go on vacation at my brother's in the Caribbean. It's still not your home and you mm-hmm. still have to be respectful to, and that's hard. You know, you just want to throw your bag down and collapse sometimes. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. It's day two and I've done that one and two. So I'm glad that I have my own apartment
Here's
now.
Here's to the Vantage Apartments.
Exactly. Shout
All right.
out.
All right. Christine Nairn in studio, Josh Gardner as well. A lot of turnover, though. You mm-hmm. know, no more Amber Brooks, no more Kalia Ojai. That's different. Will that make it a challenge to get things systematically together this year? Because it does seem like a lot of turnover again. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a club that traditionally has had a lot of turnover with players.
Yeah, I think with those two players and Sofia Huerta, they're great players. You can't take that away from them. And I think if the Houston Dash want to make a push, big changes had to be made. And you know, we had to give up those three players, but I think the work that James has done is awesome. I think we got players who want to play how we want to play. We have that kind of blue collar chip on our shoulder mentality, and I think you know, so far it's exactly that. We're working hard, and we want to play an attractive style of soccer. And I think James has done his research and brought in the players that can best recreate that.
The way we want to play, what is that?
We want people to come to our games. We want people to love the way we play, in a sense that we're going to possess teams. We're going to score goals. I think that was one of our weaknesses last year, is that, you know, if Rach Daly didn't score, I think we kind of struggled at times. So James said it today, we can't have seven players not show up for a game. We can't have three players carry us. We have to have the opposite. We have to have seven good players on the field who are bringing everything to the game, and we can carry three players. So I think with that mentality, and, you know, it's James's second year too, so he didn't know what he didn't know last season, and now that he has his feet on the ground, you know, familiar faces, I think we're hitting the ground running.
Yeah, it's probably good for him to get one season under his belt. So am I reading into this a pressing style, a very aggressive pressing style, like high up the field, or will that be the basis, is what I'm saying, and that would be similar to Todd Ramos and the Dynamo.
Yeah, you know, obviously we want to win the ball closest to the goal, so we have the least amount of distance as possible. But I think each situation and each game in the NWSL is so different than the next, and we want to win the ball back quickly, and while we're attacking, we want to be in a good defensive shape. So we've started to put those little things together with PowerPoints and film with James. And I think it's something that I've never been accustomed to, but I think, you know, that's the great thing about soccer, is there's no one right way to play the game, and whatever gets the result, I think we're all on board with.
10,000 minutes in the NWSL. That's a lot of minutes.
I'm old.
No, you're 29. You kidding me? 29 is not old.
Yeah. In women's soccer, it's up there, but.
Well, the fact that you've played in the league from year one is pretty, that to me is very impressive, and the fact that you've been on a number of different teams. So we forgot to mention the Orlando Pride as well. What was it like playing in Orlando in front of that fan base?
It was great. I think it's very similar to the fan base here. I think that it's potentially a very soccer-specific city. You know, it didn't come together on the field as good as the team had hoped, but you do have your superstars there. I mean, you have Marta, who, I mean, give her one leg, she's still one of the best players in the world. So to see her and see the way she trained, and, you know, you would never think she's won however many, you know, FIFA World Player of the Years that she has. She's just such a good teammate and a good person. So
talking to Christine Nairn in studio here, 2 days into the Houston Dash preseason. They're getting things going under James Clarkson and Eddie Robinson, a lot of change. Is it going to be tough to play that kind of a system in the heat? You know, you've had the experience of being down here now. Mm-hmm. As much as you want to play an out-and-out aggressive pressing game, is it really possible to sit here and say you can do that game in and game out?
I think so. I think, you know, we have to choose our moments wisely. I think, you know, we are out in that heat every day. So we use that to our advantage when we play home games. And, you know, James is pushing us pretty hard. And I think that it's just going to prepare us for when season starts. I think, again, the NWSL is so different game to game. You just have to see what the game calls for. And, you know, some games we're going to go full throttle and, you know, pick them high up on the field. And other times we might have to sit in and catch our breath a little bit. So we have to have smart and intelligent players, because if you just run around with the chicken with your head cut off, you're going to get subbed pretty quick.
You're going to look like a chicken with your head cut off. Question for you, and I asked this to Josh about Major League Soccer before. Tactically now in the league, is everybody playing the same way? Tell me the teams that are playing a little bit uniquely and differently. Obviously, we can go to the North Carolina Courage and their depth and everything, but is it all about the pressing game now for most of the teams in the league? Is that a commonality?
I would say it's pretty common.
Are there any teams that really sit back in a low block and look to break out consistently is what I'm saying. I know teams might do that. Probably going to do that to you here in Houston in the heat.
Yeah, I think we'll do that at times. Yeah. I think, you know, if they have fast, big, strong, fast forwards, I think we gotta defend the space behind. So there will be moments in every game that we'll sit and let them have the ball, catch our breath a little bit, and, you know, break out. I think traditionally we've been a counter-attacking team, and I think we're very good at it when we can do it consistently. And I think what James is trying to do is make our strengths stronger and our weakness diminish our weaknesses a little bit. So, you know, again, that's the beauty about the Dash right now is, you know, we can kind of change how we're going to play based on who we're playing. I think that's, again, the type of players that he's bringing in are very adaptable to any situation.
And maybe even a heavy workload. I mean, if you've got 3 games in 10 days,
exactly.
You may not be able to do the same things in game one that you are in game three. And you got a couple of new defenders, Megan Oyster, Katie Naughton. We'll talk a little bit about that when we come back. Christine Nairn joining us from the Houston Dash. Josh Gardner, a number of Major League Soccer teams, including L.A. and Sporting, where he won MLS Cups. Right now it's 2-1 Olympia and Montreal Impact. Holy moly. That was long. Who hit that, Josh? Long-range goal. We're trying to look it up here. It's a small monitor here. 2-1, Montreal Impact trying to get back in it against Olympia of Honduras in the CONCACAF Champions League. We'll take a break here. Break is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Off we go into the world of break with George Thorogood. Ride on, Josephine, baby, ride on.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, for the Liverpool supporters group in Houston that hangs out at Hugh O'Connor's and my good friend Ian Verry, guess what? You're going to find out a little later in the show about somebody who's a big Liverpool fan you might not have known, and he may become your favorite player on the Houston Dynamo. You'll see. Welcome back. We're brought back by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. That was the legendary Dick Dale. Continental Club in Houston numerous times. What's that? Oh. Wednesday's City-Arsenal match, Premier League match, postponed. The decision to postpone tonight's game has been taken as a precautionary measure on medical advice after it emerged that personnel from Arsenal FC have come into contact with the Olympiacos owner Evangelos Marinakis, who has been named as a positive case of coronavirus. So, wow.
Not only did they knock us out of the Europa League, Glenn, they also gave us the coronavirus. Jeez. So just a little double whammy there.
Well, it's no question you're going to see more and more cases here in the next. I mean, for everything I'm reading and hearing, but I don't want to talk about this because I'm not a doctor. And you know what? That's a perfect segue to Jurgen Klopp's confrontation with a reporter who asked him this question. And Christine, I want you to get your thoughts on this. No, not on the virus, but okay. on the way Klopp handles this. Go.
Look, what I don't like in life is that a very serious thing, a football manager's opinion is important. I don't understand it. I really don't understand it. Could ask you. You are exactly in the same role than I am. So, and it's not important what famous people say. No, you have to. We have to speak about the things in the right manner, not people with no knowledge, like me, talking about something. People with knowledge should talk about it and should tell the people, do this, do that, do this, and everything will be fine or not. So, and not football managers. I don't understand that. Politics, coronavirus. Why me? I wear a base cap and have a bad shave. I'm concerned as much as you, maybe less. I'm not sure. I don't know exactly what your amount of is of being concerned, but my opinion is really not important. I live on this planet, and I want the planet to be safe, healthy. I wish everybody the best, absolutely. But my opinion about Corona is not important. If somebody tells me we play football because I think smarter people said we can play football, I will not make the decision.
So what do you think of that?
I think he's legendary.
Brilliant, for saying right?
Like, he knows what he knows. He's not a doctor, just like you said. Yeah. So he's going to stick to what he knows, and that's winning a lot of games.
That's leadership, though, right?
Yeah, knowing what you know.
Yeah, if Klopp came in the room and said, hey, Glenn, take a jump. Okay, Jurgen, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. That's inspirational. That's a great leadership. I like that. All right, so I want to take you into the U.S. women's national team against Spain. And I watched that game. I'm very interested in the Spains of the world, the Netherlands of the world in the women's game, because I just have seen such an acceleration. I think we were to expect this because of these great soccer-playing nations. Give me your thoughts on the U.S.-Spain game.
First of all, I thought it was an unbelievable game. I think that is the first time maybe ever that I've seen the U.S. women's national team outplayed in the first half. I think their U.S. is definitely the best in the world, but the rest of the world is catching up very quickly. And I think Spain showed that for majority of the first half and large portions of the second half. I think the possession was over 60% for Spain for majority of the first half, which, you know, as a soccer player, that doesn't really matter. What matters is the score. But Spain's getting up there, and I think what a great time to be in the women's game and to witness that. And I think, you know, the Spanish Federation is putting large amounts of money and time and everything into their federation, and, you know, it's showing on the field. And I think that they're going to be a force to be reckoned with very, very, very soon.
How about their shape and just tactically? I mean, everybody seemed very confident. They weren't overawed by the U.S. And just, you know, it was just such a pleasing game to watch because there was so much purpose between the two teams.
Absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, it wasn't the typical Spain just keeping possession for the sake of it. There was a purpose to every single pass you take. I think their left center back, I'm not sure her name, but she was pinging balls left foot. She was dribbling out of the back. She was, you know, making defenders make choices. And it really opened up the U.S. at times. And I think that, you know, the U.S. held their own for the game. Obviously, they came away with the win. But to see someone else do that, I think is very humbling, I think, to the U.S.
Christine Nairn in studio. The Houston Dash will be on their third day of training tomorrow as preseason has opened up. You know, when you get out there for the first day of preseason, is everybody, it's like you're shot out of a cannon. Everybody's so excited to be back out there.
Yeah, it's, you know, everyone's going a million miles per hour. And I think James a couple times had to say, take a breath. You know, we're all excited. And it's like first day of school jitters a little bit. But, you know, when the whistle blows, it's still the same game.
Freshness about new faces. And I know we talked about the changes, but does that make it fresh? Does that make it a little bit more exciting? Because we all know the teams have to be freshened up.
Yeah. It's everything's a clean slate. But at the same time, it's a lot of familiar faces. Like I said, with James's second year, Twyla's second year, my second year. So you have a lot of people who are coming in that are new to the organization, but a lot of returners, which I think you're comfortable day one. And I think, you know, preseason, you can get very uncomfortable physically, emotionally, mentally. So to see some familiar faces and people who are just doing whatever they can to make the Houston Dash better, I think is a very comforting thing.
All right, so Paul Riley's an ex-teammate of mine, the North Carolina Courage coach, and I was really impressed with his transparency in pushing U.S. soccer on issues of player development and what we need to do to make the women's game better. When you see him doing that, are you going, that a boy?
Yeah.
That a boy?
Absolutely. I think, you know, we don't want to, I kind of said this to you off air, but we don't want to be treated like women soccer players. We want to be treated like soccer players. So if that's saying that something's not good enough, then he needs to come across and say that. And, you know, I think he's done a great job. I actually played against Paul Riley growing up. He's a coach for Albertson.
Out on Long Island.
And yeah, out of Long Island. And, you know, just seeing the way he treated those soccer players at 12, 13, 14 years old, they knew exactly what was expected of them and what their role was. And as a soccer player, that's exactly what you want. So I think if he's going to call people out, I think, you know, who better to do it? He's done it year after year with the North Carolina Courage. So, I mean, you can't not hear his voice.
Yeah. And I mean, not everybody would do that though. You know,
yeah.
they might just adhere to, you know, the concentric circle of the league and not want to ruffle anybody's feathers. But we do need people like that, that do step up and take the leadership role, especially in the women's game, because look, it's a great product. But it's a product like every other product that can continue to improve with subtle adjustments, more professionalism, more opportunity for fans, you name it, the player development.
Absolutely.
All right. So going into this year, and look, the club's never made the playoffs. Let's face it. This is a huge year to get into the playoffs.
Yes.
And to bring playoff NWSL soccer here. How much responsibility do all of you feel about that? The other thing is, does that bring a bit of pressure, or is that really out of sight, out of mind right now, pressure?
I think as of right now, it's kind of out of sight. It's never out of mind, but it's out of sight just because we have such a long preseason with 6 or 7 weeks. We actually have a bye the first round, so it kind of might be nice to kind of see how, you know, everyone else plays that first week and kind of base how we're going to play on what we see. I think that the pressure is always on as athletes. We are in, this is a business, and this business is going to thrive if we're successful. So I think James is doing the correct things. We're starting at square one, you know, did some stuff. We did video today of how we want to play the basic skeleton. And I think he's slowly layering in what he wants us to do and how he wants us to play. And, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. And I think that this preseason is so critical and crucial to the success, because it's going to be the foundation of how we're going to come out game one.
Do you feel like you're still in a phase that all the women on your team still have to be a salesperson for the NWSL and the sport and to be out in the community and touch as many players and youth players as possible?
I think so. One thing I think that is kind of a misconception for us is, you know, we don't want to only cater to young women soccer players.
Right.
We want to cater to...
Not just birthday parties.
Exactly. We don't want to be the token, oh, let's go support your local women's soccer. Like, no, we want to be, hey, have you guys seen the Dash play? They're actually a really good team.
Yeah.
So, you know, if my two brothers want to come to my games and, you know, hey, we get them in the stands and we make fans out of them, that's who the people we want to market to. And I think this city is so dominant in the soccer world, and you know, you have such soccer fans, and I think if we can just tap into 10% of that population, I think that we can make the stadium BBVA a fortress.
Kristen Nairn joining us in studio here at the Houston Dash. Over 10,000 minutes has played in the NWSL since year one. All right, I got to get this in real quick before we go to break. The one thing I cannot stand is that all these women that have played through youth soccer, played in college, they do not come to your games. Why? You got 30 seconds.
Some people just want a clean break from soccer.
Yeah. Know?
That's it. You know, you've put your life and soul into something, and you're ready for something new.
Yeah, but we need them. We need them out there with their kids.
Absolutely.
All right. Calling all former women's soccer players. Whether you're a parent now or you're playing in your local adult league, get out and watch the Houston Dash. Get out and see Kristen there. And thank you, Kristen, for coming in.
Thank you.
All right. Christine Nairn joining us in studio here tonight. We appreciate it. We're going to break here with Jimmy Cliff, The Harder They Come, one of the great movies that you've never seen, Andrew Carlson. Take a break.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Again, a reminder, our presenting sponsor is John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. They're bilingual. Everybody has to sometimes rely upon a personal injury attorney if you get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle. We don't want that to happen, obviously, but if you do, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm is for you. Again, DaspitLaw.com. They are bilingual. You contact them, John and his firm. They're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. And a big thank you to John and the Daspit Law Firm for getting soccer on the air, which also allows us now to interview the left back of the Houston Dynamo. He has represented Sweden. He has played for Elfsborg in Sweden as well. He is the Dynamo starting left back. He is Adam Lundqvist, and he joins us now. Adam, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for letting me be on the show.
All right. So when I'm looking from the outside in, I see a group of players that look very happy, excited to be under this new manager.
Yes. Is that a question?
Yeah, it's kind of a question, a statement, and I would like you to expand on that a little bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, we're all excited, and Tab and all the manager or all the staff has really come in and just brought a new energy into the whole club and to all the players. We're really inspired, and he wants to set his want to put his mark on the club and in his style of play. I think it's very, very. I mean, It's fun to learn a new style of play and get to learn and evolve as a football player. So I think we're all very, very inspired and looking forward to keep working together and keep learning. And, I mean, that's what you want to do. You want to get better and learn new stuff. That's why we play. And I think Tab and the rest of the staff has really gave us the opportunity to do that and grow together as a group.
So this is a bit more of an aggressive style. Obviously, last year it was a little bit more based on the counterattack. Is it more fun to play this style than the style you played last year?
I mean, they're different parts. I mean, they're totally different systems, but there's good things with both of them. But yeah, I think it's a lot more fun. I mean, especially the whole thing that we want to play the game on our terms and not really rely on the other team, how they play. Of course, you got to make changes on how a team play, but we want to put our mark on the game. We want to go out strong. We want to dictate the tempo. We want to play aggressive. And for me personally, I think that's a very good style of play. I like it a lot. Just and also it gives you a lot of, I mean, hopefully a lot of momentum, and you can capitalize and score a lot of goals. And I mean, yeah, it's just a really fun way of playing.
Talking to Adam Lundqvist, starting left back for the Houston Dynamo, has played in the Olympics with Sweden as well. A lot of people might not know that. That's another nice fact about Adam. So I had a feeling you would like this system more because it is an aggressive system. It keeps you in the middle third of the field, and in the attacking half of the field, it seems to me a lot more. And you know, for me, I look at you as I almost don't look at you as a defender. I really look at you as an attacking midfield type player.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy going forward, and like you say, I pride myself being a good defender. But I feel like my attributes and my ability to go forward is where I can contribute contribute a lot to the team by getting a lot of assists, like a lot of crosses, and hopefully. Help us win games that way, and this this style of play really allows me to go forward, and so I can't complain. I really like it, and I feel like that's the best way for me to utilize, like I said, my abilities and my my way and my best features. So yeah, I really like it.
So Darwin Quintero got his debut finally at Sporting Kansas City. It looks like Albert Delisa is ready to go. How much different will this team be with those two guys in the lineup when you're kind of foreshadowing out and thinking out?
I mean, of course it will bring that little extra spark. They're two incredibly talented players, and they both have a very high ceiling and a very... I mean, they're quality players. You've seen them. They've played in this league, and they are no name about in this league. So they're certainly bring something a little extra. But also, we know the players that have been playing have really, done a really good job, and really stepped up and trying to make it hard for anyone. And I think that's a good environment we're in. The competition is hard. So if you're not certain to I mean, you should never be certain of getting a spot in the team. And I think that the coach is really good at doing that too, making the competition very hard. So we all develop, and we all have to make sure that we own the spot in the first 11. So I think the players that have played have done a really good job. But also, like you say, Darwin Quintero, but at least they have incredible qualities that will definitely help us in every game. They will help every team for me, if I would say my opinion. So, yeah, really looking forward to that.
Adam Lundquist joining us here. Dynamo will take on Seattle this weekend. Don't forget, we've got a lot of fans will be coming out to see the defending MLS Cup champions, the Dynamo, back at home after their 1-1 home opener against the LA Galaxy and Chicharito. All right, for those that don't know Darwin Quintero, Adam, tell us a little bit about what it's like to go up against him in practice, and you've played against him in Major League Soccer before. Talk about some of his qualities and what fans can expect to see when he is on the field.
I think what I got most, like you said, I played him, but what I got really, I would not say surprised, but like when you see it in practice every day, you see it a lot more. So I would say that just his quickness with the ball and his sharp turns. It's like he's a really hard player to catch, if you say, if like a defender from my point of view. And then also he's like this guy that always ends up finding that special pass, because like for me, I've been like, you could just make a run and all of a sudden he finds a way to get you the ball that you didn't really thought was going to be, the ball was never going to be played, and he finds a way to get it to you. So a little tricky kind of player with also the ability to finish. So yeah, overall a very good player.
You know, even in your time in the league now, what growth have you seen in this league when it comes to the quality of opponents and the players you're going up against? Because every team is coming in with game changers now. Guys that can win a game on their own. You know, last game it was Pulido. Yeah. We learn about this guy, Gadi Kinda from Israel. We didn't know anything about this guy. He's had two great games in Major League Soccer now. You know, talk to me about just the makeup of teams and what you've seen in your time here in MLS.
No, like you say, what I feel ever since I came here is that the league is growing, and it's growing in an incredible pace. Like you see, there's new teams every year, and like the players that's been here, the big stars that's been that MLS has been able to get over and to play, is just bringing a lot of attention all over the world. And I mean, especially in Europe, where I'm from, you can see that there's more recognition, and that also brings that little, so you can have I would say in MLS, it's very, the ceilings are very high, but you also, like, you can have, the standard of the team is very mixed when I first got here, but I feel like just in 2 years I've been here, it's a lot more, like, the whole team is more balanced. Everyone is a quality player, and especially when you go against every team has the starting 11 is a very, very high quality 11 players. Almost every team in this league can put out 11 players that are really, really good. So I feel like that's a big part of it. And like you say, there's new talented players that want to try this league. It's a very high tempo league with a lot of back and forth, very exciting football, if you ask me, compared to, let's say, another league with, like, in Europe, where it's very tactical, it's very open, it's very, a lot of goals, a lot of turnovers, a lot of everything running back and forth. So it, I would guess it's a really fun league to play if you're both a striker and a defender and everything. So, yeah, I think that's the big part of it.
Do a lot of your former teammates, like in places like Sweden and in Europe, do they inquire about the league with you? And, hey, you know, Adam, how do I get over to MLS? That kind of thing.
I mean, you don't really talk that much, but, like, they ask, I mean, they're very curious. Like, they could ask how everything works because, like, as you say, it's a very big league. Like, the United States is a huge country, so it's a lot of questions about, like, how you do with all the travel, how you cope with everything and all that stuff. But it's also very, I mean, they're also interesting about, because it's a lot of good players in this league and it's all, like, you could see it. This is not just everyday players. This is top level, like, guys who's been here, like, since I came here, I've been playing against players like Rooney, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Carlos Vela. All these players are like at the very top of their, very top level football players. So I think that's also parts that they're interested in and, like, just knowing more about the league in general.
What was it like for you to play against Zlatan? Obviously, such a legend in Sweden, and, you know, you having played with the national team, what was it like playing against Zlatan, and what's the memory you take away from that last year?
I would say for me it was a really big deal. Like, for like you say, he's the biggest football player we have in Sweden of all time. So for me, I never really thought that I would be able to play against him, but that's what I told him first time I played him. And I mean, for me, he is for Sweden, he is so big, so huge. So I feel like very honored to have played against him. But also, what I would take away is that on the field, he was still, even though he was, I would say he's older. He's 37, I think now, 38. I don't know, but he still had that hunger. So when we played him, it was not like he was this nice guy on the field. He was still very competitive, and I would feel like if he has that drive at 37, 38, and he's won all that stuff, he's won, and he still has that little extra, like, edge to him on the field when he gets very competitive, and he's not like. I would say he's not like this nice person on the field. You can see he's very tuned into the game and always, like, very aggressive. So I feel like that's what I would pick. If he still can have that fire, for sure. If I'm 25 and I also have to bring that fire to every game.
Did you have any conversation with him? I mean, did he know you were from Sweden? Did you have any conversation with him?
Yeah, like, I mean, the first time we played, I just said, like, it was an honor for me to play against him, and I never thought I would, and he said, yeah, thank you, and good luck. But then he also, like, when we played, we had some, like, more, not as friendly situations, yeah, where it was, like, maybe just he would talk to me in Swedish, and I would talk back to him in Sweden, just like, you know, the game, like, the game goes, yeah, like, maybe it was a situation that, I don't know, he say something about, like, hey, what do you do that for, or something like that. But it wasn't really much more than that.
So Seattle this weekend, Adam, this is a big game. Defending MLS Cup champions, obviously coming off the Sporting game. You guys want to turn things around. You know, look, we all know Major League Soccer is a long season. You do have time to get things together and collect things. You have a coach who's implementing a new system in Todd Ramos. But on the other hand, maybe it is some early season pressure to get a result, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're going into every game trying to win. That's the main goal every game. And then, like you say, it's a new system. We have to learn it. We have to be humble. We have to be able to see what we can do better and in order to have better results. But in the end, like you say, we need to also, we are in need of a win, and especially at home, it could be really important just setting the tone going forward. And like you say, it's a long season, so it's just been two games. But, like, it would be nice to just give the fans something to really enjoy and really feel like if we can play our best game, we can beat any team in this league. So really looking forward to the game on Saturday.
Based on the overall plan that's being implemented here, and it is a big change to go from being a counter-attacking team to be a high-pressing team. I mean, you're asking people to do things very, very differently. What is the biggest thing in the big picture that you guys want to do on Saturday?
I think what we want to do is go out and really just start the game on our terms and put them on the back foot and trying to play in their half as much as possible and really take control of the game. And like I said before, we want to dictate the game, the tempo, and really just put on a very good performance overall. And like you say, with a lot of counter press and high pressure, that I think that's a really, we have a really good opportunity against it's a good side, but I think that we also have, we have some really good chances, and we know what we can do to exploit them. And I'm really looking forward to it. And I know all of the guys in the team are as well.
Last thing before I let you go, I know you're a big Liverpool fan, right? Am I right on that one?
Yes.
Okay. So in Houston, we have a huge Liverpool supporters group. They meet at a place called Hugh O'Connor's out on I-10. So how did you become such a big Liverpool fan?
I think it's because, I would say it's my dad's fault, because when I was growing up, I was young, you know, I had no idea about football really. Like, I was just trying to pick a team, I guess. And I asked my dad, like, hey, Dad, what's the best team in the world? And he said, Liverpool, for sure. And at that time, they weren't really that good. He just said it because it was his team. So I kind of like, oh, and I liked it because in my age group, like I'm 25, 26, it wasn't really that many Liverpool supporters. It was a lot of Man United and Arsenal. So I was kind of the only one, and I kind of liked that. So it kind of stuck with me. And from there, I mean, I had some few good memories growing up, but now lately when they're playing so well, it's kind of fun to finally get some good memories from that part.
Well, you know what? Now that we just did that, guess what? The Liverpool supporters group favorite player on the Houston Dynamo is who?
I hope that it's me. I mean,
I have a feeling you just might have won.
We have something in common. We have something in common. That's for sure.
Yeah, we'll be ready.
Like
those guys
say, you never walk alone, right?
Yeah, they're going to find you and they're going to ask you to come out probably. So be ready.
That'll be awesome.
All right, Adam. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Best of luck this weekend against the Seattle Sounders, and we always appreciate you coming on, and we always enjoy the conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure, really.
All right. That's Adam Lundqvist, Houston Dynamo, left back. You'll see him marauding up and down the left side like he has been this year. Takes a lot of the set pieces as well. Keep an eye on him. He's played in the Olympics for Sweden, and he is a big Liverpool fan, as you just found out. That'll do it for tonight for the great Andrew Carlson. Victor Ariza, I'm Glenn Davis. Thank you for tuning in. Again, Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook, Soccer Matters. And a huge shout-out to our presenting sponsor, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, also Advantage BMW Midtown, and Hugh O'Connor. Remember, soccer matters.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.